You're listening to Parents, You've Got This, the expert guide to parenthood.
The complete guide to pregnancy, birth, baby and parenthood. This podcast is brought to you by Parents, You've Got This and proudly supported by Mestella. Mestella is a natural origin skincare for babies and children, recommended by healthcare professionals. Mestella by Parents' Side since 1950.
This week on the podcast, we're talking all about fussy eating, and this is dear to my heart because, you know, one day a toddler wants to eat everything and the next day they don't want to eat anything. And as a parent, it's so overwhelming trying to make sure that your child eats nutritious but also eats things that they're actually going to eat. So today we have Dr. Lexi Frydenberg on the podcast to talk all about this topic.
Dr. Lexi Frydenberg is an experienced general paediatrician working with children and their families from birth to 18 years of age. She is a mother of three, she is a fellow podcaster, and she is so well equipped with all the information that we all need for this really important stage. So thank you so much, Lexi, for joining us on the podcast today.
Thanks for having me.
Let's talk first about what a balanced toddler diet looks like. What do we need to be making sure that our little ones are eating?
So a balanced diet for a toddler is actually not that different than a balanced diet for a teenager or an adult. So under 12 months of age, children's predominant food source is through breast milk or formula. But after 12 months, most of their nutrition actually comes from food. So a balanced diet is what we all think of. It's a variety of fruit and vegetables, whole grains, protein, so meat, chicken, fish, eggs, etc. Dairy is really important. Healthy fats, so avocado, peanut butter, seeds are really important. A good amount of water and limiting sugar and extra salt as well. So it's not that different than we would all like to have in our diets.
And as a toddler progresses, you know, they start out eating everything and then they develop a will, and sometimes, you know, they just want to say no to everything. How do you know it's not just, you know, developmentally that they don't want to eat it one day and yes, they want to eat it the next, or it is actually in fact fussy eating?
So picky or fussy eating is a normal developmental stage. Most children will go through it. It's when a toddler's trying to assert independence and control, and it's really, really normal. So their appetite will vary from day to day, week to week, their intake's going to vary. It's really the overall pattern that you need to think about, not what they, you know, eat or drink every single day. So toddlers, as we know, as you two well know, are learning independence and control. They're exploring, they're experimenting, and they love to choose their own food, and they love to refuse food, or mind it anyway. And that's really developmentally normal. So picky or fussy eaters are often selective about the type of food, but also about the taste, the texture, the temperature some days, and it might just depend on what mood they're in. So most picky or fussy eaters overall get enough of the good nutrients in their diet.
And how do we know, Lexi, if they are getting enough? You know, it's such a worry as a parent because you really want to do your best and set your child up to have enough energy and to be really healthy. And how do we know if they're being, you know, if they are a fussy eater, that they're actually getting the nutrients that they need?
Yeah, it's really important to keep an eye on their growth in the toddler years and in the early childhood years. So through your maternal child health nurse or through your GP. If their growth is faltering, so if they're losing weight or not putting on weight, that's a sign you need to take your child to the GP for a checkup. The other thing is if you're concerned they might be missing a whole food group or a whole nutrient group. So things like iron deficiency or not getting enough calcium, they're, you know, issues that parents worry about a lot, and rightly so. The best thing then is to see the GP. They'll take a food history, and if they're worried, they can do some blood tests looking for those specific nutrients. And we have paediatric dietitians. We're very lucky in Australia, and they are really good at helping parents look at a food diary and help slip a few other good nutrients into a child's diet in quite creative ways.
So as a parent, how do we help with general food refusal? You know, like I'm just not eating any sort of bread, or I'm not eating any bananas or fruit or vegetables. You know, how do you...
Yeah, or foods touching certain foods, which was my child. So it's a lot about the parent-child relationship. And as parents, we often feel really guilty if we can't get our child to eat a certain food. I think the first thing to say is just take the pressure off yourself. Pressure really creates this negative cycle, and we want the relationship with the child and their food to be a really good, happy, healthy one. So try not to pressure or force feed your child ever. Try not to engage in battles because they will always win.
Yes.
Gradually try and introduce new foods and let them explore. Kids love to touch and smell and throw things on the floor. That's okay. Make mealtimes relaxed. Be prepared. You know, do it on a floor boards, not a carpet if you can, because you know it's going to be a messy activity. Try and make mealtimes relaxed and enjoyable, and where you can, have mealtimes as a family. And kids love praise, as you probably know. So praise them for even little things. If they'll try a food and then spit it out, just praise them for trying that food. I know it's hard, but really as parents, our job is to try and stay calm, keep praising them, rewarding them when they've done something good, and, you know, just keep the routine going of trying different foods.
That's a great idea, Lexi, in terms of keeping it fresh and you know, praising them for the little things when they do try new things. What do we do if they're throwing food on the floor and, you know, they're saying, you know, yuck, or I don't want it, or it's not white, I only eat white food. You know, what do we do in those sorts of situations?
Yeah, I think be prepared. It's really, really normal. So prepare yourself knowing that they're going to throw food on the floor, they're going to say yuck, they might even throw it at you in your face, which is pretty hard as parents when you've cooked this delicious meal. But being prepared for it, trying to stay calm, trying to stay patient, really important. Don't get into battles, as I mentioned. And repeated exposure is really important. So we would say from the research, you need to try food 15 to 20 times with a child or a toddler before giving up. So it's not the first time they'll take it, but maybe the 10th or the 15th time they'll start taking a food. And you can try it in different sizes, different shapes, different forms as well. And lead by example. So if you're trialling new foods around a dinner table, or you have other children trialling new foods, that's really helpful. But try not to engage in battles when your child says to you, oh, this is disgusting, this is yuck. You know, just try and stay zen.
Yeah. Lexi, as a paediatrician, I'd love to know your thoughts around calcium levels when you're weaning from, say, a milk-based diet to food. How do you go about that? What's the calcium requirements for a little one?
Yeah, so we know children under 12 months get their calcium requirements from breast milk or formula. After 12 months, we know how important calcium is for bone and teeth development, as well as muscle function and nerve development. So after 12 months of age, most children get their calcium from dairy products, so milk, yogurt, cheese, but also a lot of foods are fortified, so they have added calcium in them. So some breakfast cereals, soy milk, almond milk might be fortified with extra calcium, so that's really helpful as well. There are other foods like leafy greens, nuts, seeds, fish that all contain calcium as well. So I don't think you need to know an exact amount of calcium your child needs, but if you're worried that they may not be getting enough calcium, they can see their GP, have a blood test, and we can always replace the calcium quite easily.
What about iron, Lexi? As you mentioned before, iron can be you know, quite a common thing for children to be low in. How do we encourage particularly fussy eaters to make sure that they're getting enough iron?
Yeah, as a paediatrician, I think iron is one of the nutrients I see as most important, because it's really important for brain development and growth, but also for attention, concentration, behaviour. So iron comes in two forms, heme and non-heme form. So the heme form that we hear about is through meat, chicken, fish, and that is quite readily absorbed. But the non-heme form that you get through plant-based products, so through legumes and beans and fortified cereals, is also really helpful. Having iron-rich foods with vitamin C, so with some orange or orange juice or kiwi fruit, increases the absorption of iron, so that's a helpful tip. We also know that having too much milk decreases the absorption of iron and fills kids up. So we say children over one, try and decrease their milk intake to less than 500 mils of milk so that they do get an appetite and do eat other foods. And as I said, if you're concerned about your child and they may be really tired or, you know, really struggling with their attention or looking pale and lethargic, we'd often check their iron in their blood tests, and we've got readily available iron supplements both in liquid form and capsule and tablet form.
And what about fruit and vegetables? Do you have any creative ways of introducing these to little ones?
Look, you two probably have a lot more than I do, given the number of children you have. I often say let your child be creative themselves, if they will, because if they're going to make a face out of fruit and vegetables or cut it in a certain way, they're probably more likely to eat it. But leading by example, so just always having some fruit and veggie on the table, letting them pick and choose for themselves because they like control, as we said. Being creative with presentations, so different shapes, making that face with, you know, the cucumbers and the carrot sticks, really helpful. Kids love to dip things and use their fingers, so, you know, having some hummus or other dips and just different types of vegetables which are age appropriate they can dip in. Smoothies can be really good. You can have a lot of good fruit, vegetables that they can't really taste in there, so that can be really helpful as well. And frozen fruit. I think kids love different textures. Yes. Just be careful with things like grapes and blueberries. You want to cut them really, really small before you freeze them, because obviously you don't want them to get stuck and choke. But kids love frozen fruit as well. And I think, as we might have mentioned, getting kids involved in the process. So getting them to come along to the market or to the supermarket to shop with you, getting them to help prepare in the kitchen with, you know, child-friendly knives, or even throwing things into the blender for a smoothie, letting them play and touch things, letting them taste and spit it out. Kids are much more likely to eat those fruit and vegetables down the track if they've got some control over it.
That's so true. I think they just sort of eat as they go along and it's like, ha, he's eating carrot. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
Yeah, but try to keep your excitement contained. That's right. Because then they'll be defiant and decide, well, if you want me, I'm not going to do it.
That's so true. So on that, Lexi, what happens if they're outright refusing a meal? What do we do then? I mean, we're obviously going to try for consistency to be always, you know, giving them a really beautiful meal that they love. But what happens when they just refuse to eat it?
And that will happen to most of us some of the time. But it's unusual for it to happen all the time. And for those children who are really restricted, have less than, you know, 10 foods in their diet, they do need to see their GP, often a paediatrician and dietitian. But other children, their appetite and their desire to try certain foods will change. And they may not be hungry at the end of the day at 7 o'clock when everyone sits down. So really try and make sure that there is good quality food available at their hunger time. So if that's straight after school, don't let them have empty snacks, what we call empty snacks, so, you know, packet food. Give them a, you know, a hearty protein-rich meal then if you can. Yeah. I often say to parents, you know, give them choice. They love choice, but give them two choices. Rather, we don't want to run a cafe or a restaurant. I certainly don't. I'm not sure about you.
No.
But give them two main choices and then they can choose which one with a few sides that they can help themselves to. But, you know, you don't want to spend all your time thinking about food, forcing a child to eat and worrying about it. And as I said, once again, it often takes 15, 20 times repeating a certain food till they take it. So really just try and take the pressure off yourself, because most of our children, by the time they get to kinder and they sit with other children and eat together, by the time they get to school, most of them are pretty good with eating, and that fussiness and pickiness has resolved.
And what about drinks? Should they be drinking anything in particular?
So, you know, as most of us know, water is really important, and the water needs will vary depending on how active the child is, what time of year it is. So summer, they may need more water, but we often say about 4 to 6 cups a day. Just remember, those drink taps at school, they only often take a tiny amount of water. So I often encourage kids to have a big glass of water in the morning, a big glass at morning tea or from their drink bottle, and just bubblers along the way. But water, water, water is the main drink for toddlers and children of all ages. Occasional fruit juice, an occasional milkshake and some milk is okay, but the main drink should be water. And always remember, offer food first. So often in the younger, when we're introducing solids between 4 and 6 months, often people will have the formula or breast milk as their main source of nutrition. But after 12 months, offer food first. We don't want them to fill up on those drinks.
Fantastic, Lexi. I've got one last question for you, which is around volumes of food. So we've talked about volumes of liquid and, you know, what we should limit and what we shouldn't. But do we need to just, is it
based on the child and their energy levels, how much they eat as well as how much they drink.
Yeah, and that's going to vary. Once again, that's going to vary every day, how hungry they are, depending what they do. It's going to vary on their mood. It's going to vary on the time of year. So I never get too fussed about quantity. As long as they're having regular meals, and you know, when you look back over a week, they've had a fair amount, not every single day, but over a week. But I would say children, some children are hungrier in the morning, others are hungry at night. So use those hungry cues and don't engage in too many battles.
Such great advice. Oh, Lexi, we're so lucky to have you on the podcast. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And a huge thank you to Mistela for sponsoring this episode.
When we become parents, we welcome any tips and tricks that can make our lives easier. Mistela's Cicostella SOS Recovery Cream is a multi-purpose cream for little skin boo-boos, like insect bites, dribble rash, scrapes and scratches, minor burns, broken skin due to eczema, and it doesn't sting. Mistela products are dermatologist and paediatrician tested. They're our family's favourite.
You've been listening to The Expert Guide to Parenthood, and never forget, parents, you've got this.
The information provided in this podcast is general in nature and is intended to support, not replace, a discussion with your doctor or healthcare professional. Parents, You've Got This take no responsibility for any medical decisions made by individuals based on the information provided in this podcast.
Join a Parents You've Got This masterclass today to be prepared, excited and educated
for pregnancy, birth, baby and parenthood.
Visit www.parentsyouvegotthis.com.au
and sign up for a masterclass today.